Back in Founders Week, I was blessed with the word that I was going to start up my own business and open up a new store. And it's open at the Western Mall now. But yeah, God is confirming His word in my life, taking care of all my needs. And I just give glory to God.
Amen.
All right. Well, who is ready to hear from God?
Well, it's good to be in the house of God. You know, my job as a pastor is to make sure that you guys are growing spiritually. Amen. I want to make sure that you're growing spiritually, and that means your worship gets intense. And if you notice in the last few months how the praise and worship has been getting more intense and more intense, I've actually seen people run out of this place because it was too intense for them. No, seriously. Sometimes God just moves in such a way that it touches us, but some people just can't handle it. They just don't want to surrender. And so they leave this place, run out, they say, I can't handle this anymore. And that's okay too. We're not going to change because somebody just doesn't want to give in. But God is real. You can experience Him every day of your life. You don't actually have to come to church to experience Him. But most of us are lazy during the week, and that's why we come to church on Sunday, so we can have a professional praise and worship team lead us into the presence of God. Amen? So, how do you know if you're growing in your relationship with God? Well, your life gains balance and harmony. All right? Because you cannot have this balanced life and have a great relationship with God. Help me out. You cannot have a disbalanced life and have a great relationship with God. You cannot not have a prayer life and have a great relationship with God. If you don't spend time in the Word and in prayer on a daily basis, let me tell you, you don't have a relationship with God. If your only prayer is whenever you get into trouble and like, God help, you don't have a relationship with God. Do you know that Bible says that God doesn't even listen to the prayer of a person who doesn't have a relationship with Him? A lot of us, we like to think that, well, if I pray, God has to answer. Do you have a relationship with Him? Bible says, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble because He has known me, because He has trusted me, because He has a relationship with me, I will be with Him. Listen to me. My desire is that you grow in a close relationship with God. One more thing I want to say is if our church is not an evangelistic church, if we're not telling our friends about Jesus, if we're not bringing people to Jesus, I don't think we have a close relationship with God. I think we could be religious, but a sign that a church is growing is because their prayer life is growing, their time in the Word is growing, their worship is growing, and their evangelism is growing. You want more? Their giving is growing. Their joy is growing. Come on, their balance is getting better. They start walking in 100% into the will of God. And that's where God wants you to be. What is it that you can gain the whole world and not have and lose your soul? You know what it means to lose your soul? A lot of us, we think, well, I'll go to hell. That's not what the Bible is saying. Losing your soul means you don't know who you are in God and who is God, who God to you is. See, a lot of us, we go around trying to get more things. The next thing is going to make me happy. If I were to ask, let me ask you, let me slow this down because I'm already... As you can see, I'm running already on 8 cylinders. I can't do that. Slow down, Pastor. If I was to ask a question, what do you want out of life? And I've asked this question of many people. And if you ask an average American, what do you want out of life? They'll say, I want to be happy and I want to be comfortable. Sounds familiar? Would you answer like that? No? All right, we're different church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The exception, yeah. But most people, If you ask them, they want to be happy and they want to be comfortable. Well, by saying I want to be happy, says what? Hold on. By saying I want to be happy, says we're not there yet, right? And we live in the best nation in the world. We do. We got such an opportunities. I mean, a bum in America lives better than some rich people in a poor nations. So we got it good. But if you ask us, what do we want in life? We want to be happy. We want to be comfortable. Meaning, we're not happy and we're not comfortable. Hey, how many of you have an ability to take a shower every day? You're rich. Right? In other nations, people don't take shower that much. It's once a week if you're lucky. Or summer. You get more in the summer. Shower is in the summer. But winter, you know, got to heat up the water. Help me out. So we are supposedly, based on what we possess, we should be the happiest and the most satisfied and most comfortable people in the world. We change socks every day. Yes, if you want to. And if you want to, yes. Some do. Most do. Hallelujah. We're comfortable. We got everything we need, and yet we are not happy. And today I want to talk to, and put this thing together. We're talking about prayer for the last 3 weeks. And today it's part three, and prayer and relationship with God. That's my topic today. Part three. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. How many of you want to get out of Mark already? Mark at least one. Okay. Well, not yet. I found something else in Mark chapter 1. So I got to open it up to you. Now, is it okay to want to be happy? Yeah, Bible says happy is the man. Then it just gives what the reasons why and how. And let's just read this. Now, in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everybody is looking for you, Jesus." And he said to them, "Let us go into next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Jesus had a great idea, a great clue. He gives us a clue, actually, of how to have a great relationship with God. And if you have a great relationship with God, let me tell you, you can be comfortable anywhere. You can be happy anywhere. Doesn't matter how much money you have, if you have a great relationship with God, if you have a purpose in life, because remember, God gives you a purpose. That's something the world can't not give you. Because He put it in you. I can't put a purpose in you. Nobody else can put a purpose in you. I can try to teach you to play piano, but if God didn't put it in you, you can play it, but you'll be miserable, and we'll be miserable too, listening to you. Right? I mean, we can pull it out of you. We can discover it in you. But only God can really put it in you. And Bible says He put it in you before the foundation of the world. I want to talk to you from my personal life. I've been really unhappy at times. And you know what times those were? When I had the most. When I had the best car, I've been the most unhappy. When I had no problems for more than 2 weeks, I've been the most unhappy. Now, some of you think, what are you talking about? Does problems make you happy? No, problems just gives you life. You know, life is interesting when you have things happening in it. Imagine just sitting there. TV is boring. Computer just gets on your nerves. You just get depressed, you get angry, and you're bored. How many of you have been bored? Usually that means you have everything, but you don't want anything. You've been bored. And I've been that way whenever I had everything I needed. There's been times, however, that we as people, and I personally do this same way, is I say, well, if I can only have this, if I can be debt free, I will be happy. Then you get debt free, and guess what? Not happy. If I can only make more money, I could be happy. If I can achieve something great in this world, I can be happy. If I can have a better car, I could be happy. If I could be married, I could be happy. If I wasn't married, I'd be happy. I'm not talking about myself. I'm just talking about you. Oh, Jesus. If I had a better car, if I achieved my dreams, if I had an education, if I had a boyfriend, I would be happy. But why is it that when we get what we wanted, just think about the thing that you wanted a year ago, and now you got it. Let's say a new car. Are you happier? How come you're still down? How come you're still upset? How come you're still depressed? How come you're still bored? See, what idols are, let me talk to you about idols. Can I talk to you about idols? Not American Idol, but just idols. Well, American idols, yeah. Because we're all Americans here. Great Americans. I'm great American. Thank you very much. What are idols? Idols are not necessarily bad things. Idols could be good things. Made God things. What made them? Bad things. Listen to me. Idols are good things that are made God things. That become bad things. How many of you got? Are you following me? Let me explain. Food is a good thing. When it becomes a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. Sex is a good thing. When it becomes a God thing, even wine. I'm sorry, I'm not religious. It's a good thing to drink. If it becomes a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. That's what idols are. They're good things. But if you start pursuing them, money is a good thing. Love of money. That means it becomes a God thing. When your money becomes your God, it becomes a bad thing. And a lot of us think, well, we don't have idols today in America. Well, we don't worship. We don't bow down to statues. We have so many idols. Everything that your car could be an idol. Your work could be an idol. Your kids could be an idol. Your girlfriend or boyfriend could be an idol. You're demanding from them happiness. Because what are idols? If I had more of food, bless you. Don't interrupt. No, just kidding. Hold it. Whew. Hallelujah. Don't mess me up now. I'm on a roll. So idols are good things. TV, is it good? Yeah, if you're sick in bed, I mean, it's the best thing. Right? You could just lay there and watch it and it'll help you pass your time, right? You can watch a movie, get away from the reality. But if you make your TV a God thing, meaning you expect your pleasure, your entertainment, your happiness to come from it, it becomes a bad thing. You can make your boyfriend an idol. Oh, that's all I want. It's him. I cannot live without you. Cannot breathe without you. Is that your song? Ilya. That's Ilya's song. And and so you put too much pressure on a thing that's not designed to bring you what God can bring you.
A lot of us, we find identity. If only I can have that guy. People will think I'm cool. I'll be so happy. If only I can get that girl. Man, all the guys are going to be, whoa, look at him. You know that guys kind of judge each other based on the girls they have. Come on. Can I be honest? I'll be honest. You got lucky there, Jesse, so you're all right. So, that's right. So, a lot of us, we find our identity in our car. You take our car, we're like, or even in our friends. If I have friends, I'm not a loser. If I don't have friends, I'm a loser. So, I'm going to make sure I have friends. They could be bad friends, good friends. They could be druggies. They could be anybody. They could mess up your destiny. But, hey, I'm not a loser. And my identity. Some people find identity in the things like environment now. They call mother, your mother Earth. No, my mama is Luda. But my mother is not Earth, you know. And people find identity in recycling. Gospel of recycling. And some people find identity in everything else. But remember, temporary things. Some people find identity in their music. Some people find identity in how much they make. And then they expect that to continue to make them happy. Now, getting a new car will make you happy for a week. Stop. For 3 days. As soon as it gets dirty, that's it. That's how long the new car feeling lasts. But that's all. See, it cannot satisfy. And most people say, all I want to be is happy. Or I want to be comfortable. And it's always the next great thing. Remember? It's if only I could have this. My cousin said to me, he was a troublemaker and kind of started turning his life around. And he said, if only I could have a little house with a character. It was a little house, like 600, 700 square feet. It's like that house. And a backyard and with a barbecue and a grill on it. And I could be happy. It could be my heaven. Guess what? He got his house. I mean, how hard it is to get a house. Not too hard, right? It's a small house especially. It didn't make him happy. See, and in those moments when you got everything and you're still not happy, God is trying to speak to you. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens it, I will come in and guess what he'll do? I'll have a feast. I'll dine with him. I'll have a feast. You know what? When you have everything you want, but you're still bored and depressed, your door is closed to God. And there's no party here. There's party here, yeah. Help me out. There's party here. There's party, there's friends, there's bars, there's Lifelight, there's Jazz Fest, there's whatever you want. Movie night downtown by Naked Guy. And whatever you want. But up here, there's no party. Am I preaching to anybody? How many of you had party outside but no party here? Jesus said, I knock at the door, especially at those times. Listen, I want you to remember, whenever you have everything that you want and still no party inside of you, that's what it means to lose your soul. There is a party here. You created a good life, comfortable life outside of you, and you can do that in America very easy. All of you can have a great job if you want to, if you can keep it too. Hallelujah. But if there's no feasting here, and Jesus said, I knock at the door. If you come in, if you open it up, I'll come in and make a party there. It doesn't matter what's happening all around you. There's party in there. And once it's good there, it becomes good here. Some of you are so bitter. Some of you are so angry. And it's not because you don't have a girlfriend. You're just bitter because there's no party inside. Listen, you didn't hear me. Some of you are bitter inside. You lash out at people. You know, here in church, we all put on our best. But that's not how we are with our brothers and sisters, with our kids, with our parents. That's not how we really are. And the reason we hurt people is because we're so hurt. Because there is no party here. And Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. Come, open the door. And you know how you open a door? Jesus gives us a clue. Remember, what happened before that night? What happened the night before when we read this story in Mark? There was a great ministry happening. Jesus healed people. A lot of people were saved. Demons were being cast out. Right? So there was a lot of outward things happening. In the morning, however, he goes out and says, that's great that all those outward things are happening. What's happening on the inside? He's like, I gotta spend time with God. Let me read this again. He departed to a solitary place and he prayed. Whenever you see Jesus do some great miracles in the Gospels, you will see him going either in the evening or in the morning to spend a whole night or at least early in the morning with the Father in prayer. He said, I want to open the door so my Father can come in and I can have feast with him. Because what if I gain the whole world? Meaning, I can heal everybody. I can feed everybody. I can walk on water. I can do all these things. But I don't have it inside of me. How many of you are getting this? It's so great to learn this when you're young. At least you won't be searching foolishly for the things that don't satisfy. Now remember, idols promise big things. Food. If you eat another meal, if you eat more food, that cake promises you a lot of happiness. But as soon as you eat it, what happens? Ugh. You're eating it already being depressed. You're eating it saying, man, I'm going to regret this later. I should stop, but... Hallelujah. So what is missing in our lives? We live in an awesome country. We have great friends if we want to. Now, if your life is disbalanced, you won't have friends. If your life is balanced, people will reach towards you. I'm going to preach a message on friendship. Anyway, let's keep going. Hallelujah. So the clue is we got to have a great relationship with God. That's what's missing. When I'm bored, check your relationship with God. When you're bored, check your relationship with God. Now, Jesus gets up early in the morning before daylight and starts talking to God. Why do you think, the question is, why would Jesus need to get up so early in the morning? Because there's no distractions, right? In that country, there was no electricity 2,000 years ago. So people would get up as soon as the daybreak. So things would get really busy. Remember, you have to feed your cows, your sheep, your dogs, your cats. They didn't have any pigs. So, they had to feed the chickens. I mean, they had to do their morning prayer. Everybody got busy. So Jesus had to get up where he would not be disturbed. Now, why couldn't he do it in bed? Question. A lot of us, we do it in bed. Well, what if he didn't fall asleep, but he laid in bed? He had to practice discipline. Have you ever practiced discipline in your life? Let's say exercising. How do you feel? Don't you feel a little more spiritual just by exercising? No, I'm telling it the truth. There's something about discipline. Let me read to you something out of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. Let me read it again. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. Proverbs 12:1 says this. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates it is stupid. Yeah, it's in the Bible. I didn't call you stupid, but it's the word from the Bible. Now listen. Poverty and shame will come he who neglects discipline. A lot of us are in poverty in our spirit. We got poverty because we don't discipline. And a lot of us, we think discipline is for kids. You know, a spoon or a paddle to them. Bible talks about discipline. It's a principle. It's a discipline in your body. It's keeping it under control. Jesus could have prayed. And why did he need to pray? He was God. Couldn't he just sleep there and connect during the night with God? No. While on earth, that's how it works. In heaven, we will think and we will know each other's thoughts. Even there, we will worship God. But here on earth, we're put into the time realm, meaning Jesus had to be in certain place in certain time. In heaven, there's no time, so you'll be everywhere in the right time. No time. But here, we have time limits, right? 24 hours a day. And Bible says, be careful, watch your time, because the days are evil. There's somebody who's trying to steal your time. Gotta watch it. Are those amens or are those hurry ups? Amens. All right. And the reason it had to be so early, because there's a clue here. Because nobody was up then and he could spend time with God. Did you notice that Jesus rarely ever prayed before he healed people? He almost never prayed. He said, be healed. Have you heard Jesus pray? I mean, in the Bible. Let me give you a few examples where he did pray. Can I? Okay, let's do it. Even before he broke the bread, let's listen to what it says. Let's look at some famous prayers of Jesus, like where he took fish and bread and, you know, he did prayer. Can we see that? Mark chapter 6:41. This is where he's feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, with bread and fish. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. Where do you see prayer there? What is bless? Do you remember God said to Adam and Eve? He said, be fruitful and multiply. When the Bible says bless something, what does it mean? Does it mean to pray to God that he would bless something? Or does it mean that you bless something? How do we bless our children? It's not saying, God, please bless our children. That's praying that God would bless your children. How do we as parents bless our children? We have that example in how Jacob blessed his sons. He started proclaiming things into their life. He didn't pray about it. He said, Judah, you will be the greatest among your brethren. That's how he blessed it. God said to the world, be fruitful. He said to the earth, light be. That's a blessing. And light was. Help me out. Jesus didn't pray. He blessed. He looked to heaven and says, he winked at God, said, hey, all right. See the relationship there. And he said, I bless this bread to feed all these people. It wasn't God, please multiply this bread. It was God. He said, bless. When he was praying for the Lord's Supper, remember, we call it supper, communion. He blessed it. He didn't pray for it. He says, this is my body. He didn't say, God, make this my body. No, he said, this is my body broken for you. There's a difference between prayer and blessing. Father, I bless this food to be healthy for me, and in some places that it wouldn't be poisonous, that I wouldn't get food poisoning or whatever. So there is a difference between praying and blessing. So there he blessed. Okay, let me read it again. He looked up to heaven.
Looked, hey.
Blessed and broke the blessed. How do you bless God? Do you pray, God? I pray that you bless God. Come on. How do you bless God? We are supposed to bless God. It's not praying, God, I bless you. That you would pray, bless yourself. Would you please, God, would you please bless Jesus? And Jesus, would you please bless Holy Spirit? And on and on. That's not how it is. We bless you, God. We magnify you. We exalt you. You're amazing. Love, long live and prosper. You know, something like that. What is that from? Star Trek. Okay. Next, can we look at Lazarus, raised from the dead story? Open to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, a little scripture today. Somebody said you don't use enough scripture. I said I can't use more than 10, so. All right. 11:39. Did I just whistle? I know, I spit and that's why I said, Alex, don't put this thing too close because they'll be wet. They'll have to bring plastic covers. Do you remember Lazarus died? He was the brother of Mary and Martha, okay? And he died and Jesus didn't came to heal him. They sent for him to heal him, but he didn't. Now he's laying 3 days in a tomb. And verse 39, let's read. Jesus said, when he came to the tomb, he said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench in there. For he has been dead for 4 days. So 4 days. 3 days in the tomb, 4 days dead, stinking. What are you doing, Jesus? Okay. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And listen to the prayer of Jesus. Ready for the prayer? Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Okay, what is he saying? Does he ask him anything? He said, I thank you that you have already heard me. That's not a give me. God, could you please raise Lazarus from the dead? Didn't say that, did he? Okay. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of these people, so listen, the reason he's even praying this prayer is because of who? The crowd, the people around him. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this. It's not, I didn't pray this, I said this. That they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Loud voice. I had to do it. Oh, I felt that. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's the words of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like worshiping him right now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon this place. Oh, Jesus. If I was, help me out, Lord. No, zip it. Okay, I'd be dancing, you know? And I would say, get on that keyboard. Oh, thank you, Father. Lazarus, come forth. No prayer. Didn't say, God, please let Lazarus come forth. A woman with the issue of blood, he didn't pray for her. Just touched him. A leper didn't pray for them, just say, go. I will. He says, will you make me?
Will you heal me? He says, I will. Go. No prayers. Why?
Because the relationship with God already there. You don't need to pray. A lot of times we pray because we're hopeless. Because we don't have faith. And if you think about it, even atheists pray when they're in trouble. Put them on a thin string that's almost about to break over a 1,500-foot cliff. An atheist will be praying, oh God, if you're there, please help me. Help. Anybody. That's Jesse's joke. Bear an atheist. Hallelujah. It's a relationship with God. Then he just commands it and it happens.
Can I show you something? Open to James chapter 5 verse 16. James chapter 5. I don't know if I can find it now. It's so confusing. Bible is so confusing. After Hebrews, okay. 5:16. B, the second part of it. Let's read the whole thing. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, whose prayer? Anybody's prayer? A righteous prayer. A righteous man is not the one without sin. A righteous man is the one who has a right standing with God. It's standing, it's being in a right relationship with God. You will never have no sin in your life. And remember, John says, if anybody says he has no sin, he's a liar. So if you ever say there's no sin in my life, what does Bible predict? You're a liar. So what is it kind of implying? That we will never be without sin. If we are, we're not. But if we say we are, we're liars. Which we're not still. Right? Bible says that righteous man's prayer, he who has a right standing with God. And it's stupid, I think, to wait till the last moment and then say, please, 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 God. Why don't you just maintain the prayer life? Then you won't have to say, please, please, please. Because a lot of times in those moments, God says no. Are you in James? Okay, let's go to James chapter 4. All right? James says this. This is a brother of Jesus. He knows a lot about Jesus. They grew up together in the same house. Okay? He says, you ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. God, please, I need more money so I can have more fun. God, please, I have to impress this girl. I need a better job. And God says, the reason you don't receive, because you ask amiss. You don't have a relationship with me. You don't know what I want. Note, as soon as Jesus spent time with God, he left the city, left the people, started preaching to other cities. Evangelism. And the next verse says, adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enemy, enmity with God? This is how it works. A wife comes to a husband and says, honey, could I have $200? Why? Well, I have a boyfriend waiting for me downstairs. We're going to go and party. How many of you husbands would say yes? I would say, where is he? Let me pull out my 22 and scare him away. She wouldn't do that. But of course not. Right?
That's what the Bible says. You're adulterous. You ask me to help you go and sleep with the devil. That's what it means. Adulterers and adulteresses. Both, men and women. You're asking me for blessings so you can go and be friends, boyfriend, girlfriends with the... Let me read it again. Adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. Take that. Now, hold on. Test yourself. Am I a friend of the world? Well, how do you do that? Well, some of you are like, well, I'm a cool Christian. I'm a new type Christian. I'm spiritual, you know? Well, look at a person who's not a Christian. Well, I'm against murder. Well, they're against murder too. Dip-de-doo. I'm against abortions. Well, most of them are against abortions too. We're for helping the poor. Most of the world is against poverty. Now, so what is it? Is there a difference between us and the world? If no, then we are the world. And that's why we pray. And God says, you got to be kidding me. You want me to bless you? You want me to give you more so you can go and hurt yourself? So you can gain the whole world and lose your soul? No, I don't think so. And that's why God sometimes leaves us to ourselves and we achieve everything we want in life and then we're still unhappy. Have you heard of Alexander the Great? Great conqueror. Conquered the known world for that time. After he was done, history tells us that he came and sat on a rock and started crying, was depressed. Have you ever been depressed? Did you have nothing to do? That's what it was. By 33, he conquered the known world. Even Afghanistan, too. We're trying in Afghanistan. It's not working. He conquered them, guys. Iraq, yeah, he conquered them. Fast, too. He even went as far as India. Conquered those guys. One of the kings who fought him was a huge guy, big guy. I mean, they shot him with like 13 arrows and he was still fighting. And didn't die. And at the end he said to Alexander the Great, he said, if I wanted to test you, they said you were good. But I was good too and I wanted to test you. And he came a part of his army actually. He surrendered. He didn't die. Alexander didn't kill him. And he started being a general for Alexander's armies. 13 shots. The guy was huge. Was fighting on an elephant. How many of you seen the movie Alexander? The guy who was on the elephant? That's a true story. You've seen it. The movie Alexander? Came out 2-3 years ago. It is a good movie. Some parts. Which is true too. A lot of truth. A lot of truth in that movie. I read biography and it's true. And that big Sultan guy who was on the biggest elephant who was fighting. I mean, Alexander went against him. This guy was, he would fight all day. Nobody took him down. 13 wounds. Nothing. Still fighting. Red Bull. He gained the whole world. And started crying. Got depressed. So you... Just because you didn't gain anything, you think, okay, if I only had more money, I'd be happy. That's a lie. You can gain the whole world and still not be happy. Let's look at more closely, biblically. Solomon was the most successful king. Had a great career. Had great wives. Wives. Lots of them. Had lots of money. Lots of horses. Had great ministry. Had great ministry. Guys, did Solomon had a great ministry? What was he called? A preacher. With many wives. Had lots of it. He gained everything. Wouldn't you agree? The most successful king. And at the end, what did he say? Life is all, say it, vanity and grasping for wind. He says, it doesn't mean anything. He gained the whole world but lost his soul. His soul was not dancing. Yeah, he was dancing. Like my dancing. The reason I do these things so you don't sleep. Okay, so watch. Keep you awake. See, everybody's awake here. Hallelujah. I hope you actually do what I say. Oh, some of us, yes. All of us, hopefully. So what do I need? So what do I need? Relationship. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And righteousness means what? Means what? Right standing with God. Remember I said 100% in God's will? Have you ever felt that? Sometimes you just feel it for 2 days or 3 days and it's like, yes! It's like you feel you 100% with God. And you're out of Him again. And then again you try to get there. So what is righteousness? It's right standing with Him. You feel you stand right with Him. You're in His will. You're not fighting against His will. You're not doing your own thing. You're not saying, God will wait. It's my time. You know, when I get older and when I need God, yeah, I'll call Him. But right now, I just want to party. No. Bible says, seek first God. And seek His destiny for your life. Everything in this world is going to be vanity. That's why I love ministry. And that's why I call all of you to be a minister of the gospel. Because whatever things that are done for God on this earth will last. Everything else will crumble. Everything that we do for God on this earth will last. Everything else will crumble. And that's why the Bible says, seek me first. All those things will be added unto you. You're seeking boyfriend? Don't worry about it. He'll give you one. But even if he doesn't, you still have a fulfilled life. 95% of you will be married. Anybody could get a girlfriend and a boyfriend. I mean, it's the will of God that counts. And a lot of us, especially when you're, and I'm talking to a lot of young people, when we're young, we're like, if only I had a girlfriend, I would be truly happy. It's not. You did have one already, and you still weren't happy. You stabbed him so hard, you smothered him so hard that he left you. You were picking on him so much that he wasn't this, and he wasn't that, and he wasn't this. He left you, and then you're, I remember those times when we were fighting. You don't say that, right? Guys, I've been there. It's not what we need. Those things will come. Listen, those things will come. It's natural to human beings to meet each other and get married. The Bible says, seek first me. And so a lot of young people, today I'm calling you to a relationship with God. When I was young, I was chasing women too. I was a Christian, you know, played piano in a church, but still, you know, thought I was good looking and had money. And nothing would work. Nothing. Nothing. And I just gave up. I said, I'm sick of this. I'm going to see God. As soon as I started seeking God for real, after I got tired of myself, God gave me this beautiful, amazing wife. Didn't have to look hard. Didn't have to chase her hard. Didn't have to, you know, I had to chase a little bit. But amen. Now I'm blessed. You don't know how blessed I am. Guys, if it wasn't the right one, it would be hell every day. But it's actually good. With my attitude, anyway, I'm a good guy. Help me out. How many know Dimitri? Same thing. He was following these women, and everybody said, marry her, marry her, marry her. She'd be good for your kids, and people have, you know, whatever. He said, I got tired of it. I said, no. I broke up with that one that he was supposed to marry. And a week later, he goes and ministers in town. He meets his wife. Perfect combination. We've been on vacation with them. You know how perfect they are for them, for each other. For each other. Those guys belong together. Hallelujah. Stop trying to seek what the world says you should have. Begin to fully, devotedly pursue God. Pursue what He called you to do. And He'll give you desires of your heart. Delight yourself in Him. Don't find your identity in your music, in your business, in your job, in your boyfriend. Don't find your identity, because they cannot give you what you need. He can. And every time, and I do this, listen to me, I do this. Sometimes I backslide. I start following after something. He always brings me back. He says, okay, this fails, this fails, this fails. I mean, it succeeds, but it doesn't satisfy. That's what I mean, fails. Fails me. Yeah, so what? You can make so much money, but there's no party in here? There's no party. A lot of people get drunk, so there's party in the outside, the body party, but no party in here. And God says, I'm knocking at the door. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, and today you have an opportunity to open the door and say, God, I want to renew my relationship with you. I'm not going to make a call of salvation here. No. This is between you and God. I cannot do it for you. Say, God, I'm going to follow the example of Jesus, and I'm going to spend time with you. I want you to come in and have a feast with me. I need something more than what I want or what I have in this world. I need relationship with you. Friendship with the world makes me an enemy to you. So I don't want that. I want to be like the world. I don't want to be friends with the world. I want to be friends with you. Just remember, next time you need something, or you think you need something, that's a nudging of God. That's a sign from God. God saying, I need to be with you. Lock up yourself in a room, even if it's like some kind of a cardboard box. If you don't have a peaceful place, make yourself a cardboard box. Go in there and pray. Make some holes for air. Just pray in there. Spend time with God. Even if you don't say anything, just sit there. And watch. Watch what happens. Be still and know that I'm God. Still yourself. And watch what happens. Hallelujah. I'm making a renewal for myself. I want more. I'm not done. I'm not defeated by the devil. I'm going forward. Connie and I, we talked yesterday, last night. We were driving our scooter and talking about this stuff. We said, we want more. We're not going back. We're going forward. We're going to love like we never loved before. We're going to give like we never give before. We're going to worship like we never worshiped before. We're going to pray like we never prayed before. We're going to fast like we never fasted before. We want more. Those things matter.